You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. Look at this play where we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. You can find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Joined alongside Tim live in Green Bay. We got Carly up there in Wisconsin as well. Y'all ain't getting no snow right now, are you?
No.
Yep.
You're still getting some over there?
Until tomorrow morning. They're saying they're not sure if the morning commute will be able to happen, which, you know what, is fine by me actually right now. But yeah, we're still getting a little bit and some rain. Rain and snow. It's changing every 5 minutes, actually.
Gotcha. Carly's still hanging on to it. Like, hey, it's going to be gone soon. So let's try to enjoy it as much as we can. I bet the kiddos love playing in it, don't they?
Oh my gosh, they did. They came in today just dripping because it was so much slush and snow, but literally like took their stuff off and it was dripping straight into the dryer. It was a blast.
Absolutely. All right, so first things first, all right, so a little bit of housekeeping. I've gotten a ton of feedback from people. They've reached out and said, hey, just go Patreon. Just do Patreon, Clayton. Just do Patreon. I was a little nervous because I'm not familiar with Patreon. And just coming through the site and checking it out and everything, you can download the CSV file so we can put them right into the giveaways like we did before, Tim. It really is going to work exactly how the YouTube memberships did. I still haven't heard back from YouTube. We've given it several days. No one can give me an explanation. So we're just going to kind of chug right along and we'll pick right up there where we left off. It's pretty wild though, because Patreon actually takes less percent of a cut than YouTube did. So overall for Packers Total Access, it'll work out better. I want to say this, no one feel pressured to give anything. Okay. That was something where people were asking about it before. Obviously, the memberships got kind of taken off of YouTube, and we had a ton of people just reaching out and say, hey, use Patreon. So that's what we're going to do. Again, if you want to support the show, I set it up the same as the other one before, $3 a membership. And anyone who is a member, they will be entered into the contest when we give away, you know, autograph memorabilia, merchandise, stuff like that. So again, don't feel obligated, but really appreciate everybody reaching out. It's humbling, Tim. Like, people that just reach out and say, hey, we want to support the show. It's pretty cool, man. It's really, the chat is enough for me, the way you guys and gals interact with the show. It makes it what it is. It's why we call it Packer Fan Total Access, because it's a bunch of Packer fans coming together and talking about the Packers, learning together, all that good stuff. So it's going to be a blast. Again, if you search on Patreon, it is Packer Fan Total Access, all one word. Okay. And, you can also look at the description of this video and there'll be a link in there as well. So appreciate everybody supporting the show. You guys are awesome. Yeah. United Bates has already joined. He said, hurry up and do a drawing before everybody joins. I love it. Like your chances there, don't you, Bates? Good stuff. And I would highly recommend too. We're on Rumble now. And I know they're just monetized right out of the gate. They're really, really, content creator friendly, which is really blown away at how they handle things over there. It's really cool. But What I would suggest is use Patreon over Rumble, because it's going to be hard for us to run those down in Rumble. Just use the Patreon, and we'll, that way it's all in one place, if that makes sense. I would hate to overlook someone because of that. So, yeah. Anyway, with that being said, let's get into the show. Tim, we got some bad news today, bub.
I already know what you're going to talk about.
And listen, guys, you know how we try to roll on this show. We don't want to talk about negative stuff. We try to keep it positive. We want you laughing. We want you to come away from watching this show going, man, my day's a little bit better. I feel like I'm in a little bit better mood. But we got some bad news today on this hip drop tackle. I have not met one person that's like, I like it. Not one single person. Everyone hates it. The players hate it. Adrian Amos took a couple shots at the refs today too, didn't he, Tim? You were telling me about that.
Yeah, that was great. That was great.
So I kind of feel bad for the refs. And I don't think that Adrian Amos was genuine in feeling bad for the refs. I think it was just kind of we're all fed up as defenders. But let's just jump right into it. We won't get into all the details of the exact verbiage, because I wouldn't be surprised if they revoke it shortly and then try to reinstall it. Like, there's a lot of things still going on with the owners' meetings, right? But Mike Garofalo quote tweeted Tom Pelissero earlier, and Tom Pelissero's tweet that he quote tweeted said, "Here's the video the NFL just shown in a press conference of what are now banned swivel hip drop tackles," all right, with NFL executive Jeff Miller speaking in the background. Mike Garofalo quote tweeted that and said, "Rich McKay making it clear multiple times there's a difference between a hip drop tackle and the swivel hip drop tackle, the defensive player lifting himself off the ground and using his weight to fall on the offensive player is what they're working to eliminate." Now, we're going to show a quick video, the video from that tweet from Tom Pelissero. I will say this, Tom Pelissero hopped on the Pat McAfee show earlier today, and he said, and he sounded pretty comfortable saying, he said, what's going to happen, Pat, is they're going to implement the rule, players are going to get fined, and he said they're going to try to have it to where it doesn't interfere with the game too much, right? Now, the problem with that, like Pat said, yeah, until you get into the playoffs and when a game actually matters, they'll throw the flag and it'll have an outcome on the game, and then we'll have all these people coming back in like they were last year, Tim, saying the game is rigged and this and that, right? So, you know, listen, it is what it is, but I will say this, something that did stand out to me, I think it was Tom Pelissero. It was either Tom Pelissero or Adam Schefter on the Pat McAfee show said they kind of hinted that there were, he said, obviously they're not coaching this into the game. And they cut Pat off and said, actually, there have been a couple of different occasions where it sounds like coaches have been teaching this, saying, hey, fall on the offensive player and try to hurt them, essentially. So that really kind of made my ears perk up, like, maybe this is a little deeper than we thought. But nonetheless, it's frustrating as a fan. Here's the video real quick. I'll turn the sound off on it so we can just kind of talk over it. Tim, begin your rant, sir. So here's some of the
stuff. Here's a tackle. And here's another tackle. And here's another tackle.
Beautiful commentary.
And there's a tackle. In case anybody is new to what we do here, we talk about the NFL, which is a tackle football league, or at least it used to be. You're gonna see a video of tackling here. Lots of tackling. There's a tackle, great tackle, and another tackle, and that will be illegal. 15-yard penalty and a first down and a bunch of fines going into the 2024 season. All in the name of the fallacy of trying to make a dangerous game safer. I don't think this is gonna make anything or any player safer. I really think this is more along the lines of the league going towards kind of where the NBA has gone in the last few years, which is offense heavy, a lot of scoring. We don't want to see defense, and that's what a ruling like this does to the league, in my opinion. I'm a huge defensive football fan, and this is a big blow to my defensive football ego. I don't know how you tackle anyone anymore in this league. And I'm sure we'll see, much like we saw with the roughing the passer changes a few years ago, we saw a lot of egregious penalties. Clay Matthews aside, it happened to a lot of guys in the league those first couple of years. So I would just say, as fans, get ready for this year seeing a lot of flags that you're not used to seeing. And like you said, Clayton, I think it's only a matter of time before it really impacts the game itself.
Yeah, and I just hate anything that gets implemented into the game where you have an opportunity, just an inkling of stepping back and going, is this thing rigged? You know, I'm not saying it is rigged. I'm just saying I want every bit of doubt out of the way, man, because it's just that's always hovering, especially since gambling is so big right now with the game, right? But Andy Monday in the chat said, in Clayton's Southern accent, this band is nuttier than a pile of squirrel poo. So there you go. Carly, what do you think about it? Not the squirrel poo. I'm talking about the rule.
I agree completely as far as like just it being seeming just being going to really, you know, downgrade the quality of the tackles in the game itself. But what really gets me is I think the press release said, like, in a unanimous decision, the NFL owners decided to blah, 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 blah. Since when has the NFL ever been unanimous about anything? Anything, any owners, like how you can get 32 people in one room to completely 100% agree on something. I'm not buying it. It got pushed. I mean, somebody. Yeah, I just think it's weird.
No, and, you know, Pat McAfee actually mentioned that, too. He said, you know, everything is always unanimous, and then owners will come out and complain about it. It's like, why? So you voted for it, but you don't agree with it? It's funny how that works. We got Jacob in the chat here, in the Rumble chat, says, listening while I'm shoveling snow, ... F the hip drop. There you go. So Jacob has chimed in. Love it.
Ron has a great point here, Clayton. He says, at 7:12 p.m. or 8:12 for you guys, he says, it's rough when you can't go high, can't go low, can't leave your feet. I need a video of all the tackles that are legal. That's what I was thinking when I saw that video. Those all look like good tackles. I mean, I do see that the feet are involved, but gosh, then show me what tackles are allowed.
Right.
Yeah, you got to run up to the ball carrier and just give him a big old bear hug and just hang on. Tell him you love him. Cradle him to the ground gently. Lay him down. And that's a tackle now.
Please go down, sir. Sir, will you please go down?
Yeah, will you please go down?
Ron Samble, yeah, he says, it's rough when you can't go high, can't go low, and can't leave your feet, like Carly was saying. I need a video of all the tackles that are legal. There was a player on the Detroit Lions team last year, and Pat McAfee and them talked about it earlier today. He tore two ACLs on two different players just diving at their knees. Because what else can you do now? Like, you can't hit them high, right? And it's just – it's like, I don't know, man. If I was playing football, me personally, I would want you going high rather than low. The thought of someone just launching their body at my kneecaps, especially when I think it happened to Sam Laporta. You guys remember when his knee was actually in the turf? Yep. Now, he, being the tough son of a gun that he is, went on to play, you know, later in the playoffs or whatever. But, yeah, it's just it sucks. But, anyway, we got it in. Let's move on beyond it here and try to talk about something a little more uplifting and exciting, because I knew as soon as I seen it, I was like, we've got to talk about it, but goodness gracious, I'm not excited about this one. So what I am excited about, though, Goody actually met with some of the media members today at the owners' meetings, right? And just a couple quotes on Jordan Love, which is kind of cool. Ryan Wood tweeted this out, said, Brian Gutekunst on the risk of giving Jordan Love a mega extension after one season, albeit one hell of a season as Packers starter. Quote, the nice thing about having a guy in your building 4 years is you absolutely know who he is. We talked about that, you know, going into when they traded Aaron and they decided, all right, we're going to move on from Aaron and we're going to eat this $41 million in cap penalty. It really gave me hope in Jordan Love, because it's like, there's no way a general manager is going to put their neck on the line if they don't have a pretty good idea that, hey, this guy can lead my franchise, right? And obviously it proved to be true last year, especially specifically in the second half of the season. So, yeah, the extension talks are now going to start to heat up. Here's another quote that came in from Goody. Let's see. This was Matt Schnabin that tweeted this one out. There's some videos to this I was going to play, but it's so low, you guys wouldn't even be able to hear it on the pod, so we'll just read the quotes to you guys and gals. Matt Schnabin tweeted out, Brian Gutekunst says the Packers have had preliminary extension talks with Jordan Love's reps. Quote, certainly the sooner the better, but at the same time, I think we want to make sure we do it the right way. We've started, but it's not something that's going to go quickly, I don't think. You know, the fact of the matter is Jordan Love finished on a hot streak, right? And some people are saying he should reset the market. I don't think it's quite there, but I know others will say, oh, it's ridiculous to think that Jordan Love should get paid $50 million average annually, right? And that doesn't mean he's going to have a $50 million cap hit, but that's what it's going to average out to. If that's what the market says, that's what the market says. You know, I think the sooner you get this done, Tim, the more money you're going to be able to save. I love that Goody's being patient. He's saying all the right things. I think we've got the right guy to make this happen. But the longer you wait, that price just keeps going up. And the worst thing that can happen, I don't even know who's in line for a contract at the quarterback position, but if someone else comes in and resets the market, guess what? That price just went up again. Get it done quick, get the structure of the deal in place before May hits. That way you can button it up and get Jordan Love, you know, in the building for several years. But how do you feel about it on the surface, Tim? You think we got an extension coming this year, or do you think it's something that might potentially stall?
No, I think it's coming this year. And I think, to your point, you know, it's got to be done sooner than later. But at the same time, I don't think Goody's going to rush this. I think he's probably looking at this like we got one crack at this to really get a really good deal done and just lock him up for the foreseeable future. I've mentioned this before. Give him the Pat Mahomes deal. You know, I don't care. Sign him to a, you know, 200-year contract, whatever it takes. And we can restructure, you know, the restructures and moving money around, kicking the can down the road, that can happen every 2 years, as far as I'm concerned, whatever we got to do to free up cap room in the long run. But you got to pay QB1, you know, and, you know, the Aaron Jones deal and the David Bakhtiari deal, I mean, it just makes sense, right? We freed up the necessary cap. We did what we had to do. Jordan's clearly our guy. You know, there may be a quarterback drafted either this year or next year. We know that, you know, draft one when you don't need one. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, Jordan Love is our QB1 for the foreseeable future. And we have to pay the man. I'm assuming it's going to come in multi-year deal, probably just under 200 milli, you know, overall, something like that. And allow us to spread things out over the duration as far as salary cap goes. But, no, I think you get it done. I don't think you rush, but I think there's certainly a sense of urgency. But, you know, in Goody's defense, you know, I don't think, you know, good decisions come out of haste. So I think, you know, when you hear preliminary talks, I think he's probably feeling Jordan and his agent out right now and trying to get a number. And I think we'll see a deal sooner than later. But I do believe that Goody wants to do this one time and do it right and set us up for the next decade or so, at least in my opinion.
No, I agree. What do you think, Carla?
Gosh, money talks make me uncomfortable because it's so much money. And there's so much, I feel like, that is like, I don't know, we see the intangibles, but the intangible benefits too, to Love, to maybe, I don't know. And I might be wrong, right? I know like less than 1% about any of this. And so I don't want to come off acting like I know what I'm talking about really, because I don't, but you know, maybe signing a longer deal, but a cheaper deal. So look, like we do, you know, maybe 45 per year, but it's for 7 years or something like that, where they hopefully get a guarantee. I hate that you can, it just irks me that you can have a contract and then you don't actually have to honor it, that it's all the guaranteed money. So I say, hey, give him all the guaranteed money he wants and to heck with the rest, because that's all that matters anyway, right?
Yeah. And that's the way that you can kind of drive the cap hit down, obviously, right? And the problem with that, and Carly, I just sent you an invite as an admin. If you want to back out and jump back in, I just sent the email invite. Sure. That way you can work the chat if you want to. You don't have to, but I just recognized that it was still the sick quarter Mexican, quarter Italian, and Jacob out there. Snow. So unless Jacob's going to put the snow shovel down and highlight some comments, you can go ahead and hop in there. But so, you know, the thing is you can save on cap hit if you guarantee more money, but again, that's more of a commitment. You can't get out of it right as easy if you've got more guaranteed money. But you know, I think we all feel comfortable saying he's the guy. What I'm worried about, not really worried, but what does concern me a touch is him coming in and lowballing him and ruining that working, you know what I mean, relationship like we did with Tay. And I don't think they'll do that with Jordan, because I mean, let's be honest. This is Goody's project, right? This is Goody's, what am I trying to say here, legacy on the line. If Jordan Love goes on to have a great NFL career and, you know, he brings a Lombardi back to Green Bay, Goody's the reason that happened, right? There's no two ways about it. So
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that he's got even more incentive, at least Goody does, to make this happen, right? So, yeah, that's kind of how I see that. So, let's see here. Mark Zambito in the chat said they start out playing hardball, then find a middle ground. That's exactly right, you know. And I was always taught, at a young age, you never make the first offer, right? And you ought to hear me negotiate with people behind the scenes for sponsorships. It is hilarious. And it finally gets to the point that I say, listen, you're not going to insult me. All right? I've been in business now for over 10 years. You're not going to insult me with a lowball offer, right? I'm not going to go, no way, you hurt my feelings and walk away. But I'm damn sure not going to make the first offer. So let's just go ahead and get that out of the way. All right? Tell me what you're thinking. If you're not willing to make the first offer, then it probably just doesn't make sense for us to do business together. So, but yeah, it's this is the side of football I absolutely love, though, man. The business side of football, the X's and O's are great. Obviously, everything about pro football is awesome, but the business side is just a lot of fun to try to project, try to figure out. Just when you think you got it figured out, like the free agent market, Tim, we were going, all right, looks like the market's going to be set here, here, and here. Got completely blown blown out of the picture, right? I just love the uncertainty that's around it for sure. So, yeah.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
There you go. All right, so let's do this. If you ain't got anything else to add on Jordan Love, there was another comment that was made today by Goody, and this was Matt Schneidman that tweeted this out. It said, Brian Gutekunst on signing Josh Jacobs. Quote, he's a very proven back. He runs with a lot of violence, explosiveness. He's a bigger back, a durable back for the most part. He's really a guy that can flourish in all phases as a runner, as a blocker, and certainly as a pass catcher. You could tell that was at the top of the list, was being able to catch the ball out of the backfield in this Matt LaFleur offense. We've seen Aaron Jones thrive in that, not necessarily last year. It was one of his worst years catching the football. And honestly, Tim, I think that's why the value got driven down on Aaron Jones this year too, man, was that the fact that Goody and them were kind of sitting back and going, you know what? A.J. Dillon was more effective in the passing game this year than Aaron Jones was. That's going to drive the value down. We always talk about the backs that are going to get paid the big bucks, right, with a market that's obviously down at the position. The backs that are going to get paid the big bucks are going to be those that can catch the football. But what do you think about that comment there from Goody on Josh Jacobs, man? I'm excited to see him on the field.
Oh, man, me too. And, you know, this is Goody cooking for sure. You know, we talked about contracts. We tried to do the negotiations with Aaron Jones. And look, Aaron Jones didn't want to take a pay cut. I understand that. He's taken a pay cut already. And at this stage in his career, to be mad at Aaron Jones for not wanting to take a pay cut is insane. You know, right. You just have to understand that it's a business. And, you know, like Goody said, we had to look at the future of our organization and going forward. And that it is what it is. It's just one of those scenarios, you know. I wish you didn't go to Minnesota, but, you know, unfortunately, you went to Minnesota. It is what it is. But, you know, bringing Josh Jacobs in here was what you want to see from your general manager. Zero hesitation, eyes forward, looking at the future. How can we get better? Because honestly, you know, the contract negotiations with Jonesy, they did. They started to break down. And rather than, you know, play the what if game or let's see if we can twist his arm, you never know what'll happen. Nope, no hesitation. We went out. We signed Josh Jacobs. And what he does is he gives you, an advantage in these phases of the games. When you talk about catching the ball out of the backfield, you talk about him being a bigger runner. and what he brings to the run game and the pass game. But really what we did, it's the youth too, you know? So we bought a few years, as opposed to keeping Aaron Jones on for another year or two, and we'd be another year or two behind the eight ball when it comes to our running back position. So I really think this, along with re-signing Dylan and having Emmanuel Wilson back there, it all but assures that, you know, in the draft this year, we probably take a running back at some point, or maybe a free agent signing down the road, practice squad kind of guy, something like that. But we're good in the backfield now. So now we can focus on this O-line and the other priorities offensively that we need to focus on in the draft. So I really got to tip my hat to Goody for this one. You know, being the voice of calm in that front office here, as you are about to lose a franchise player. Because let's be honest, that's what Aaron Jones was. He was a franchise right. player for this team, not a replaceable guy. But, you know, when you're faced with adversity like that, you have to make a decision. You got to make it quick, and you got to make a good one. And I think Goody did all those things. I think he made a quick decision, and he made the best decision he could for our football team. So I'm happy that Josh Jacobs is here for sure.
Yeah, I honestly think that Drew Rosenhaus was trying to call Goody's bluff over that $1 million. And Goody just said, you know what, let's give Josh Jacobs a call.
Yep.
Again, no ill will towards Aaron Jones. I think he's an amazing man, amazing football player. And I'm excited to see him come back and obviously retire as a Green Bay Packer. It's the part of football that sucks, you know. But Carly, yeah. What do you think about Josh Jacobs here and what Goody said there about how he said he's a very proven back. He's runs with violence, explosiveness, and more importantly, talking about just being able to catch the ball out of the backfield too.
There was somebody mentioned it earlier, and I went back to try and find out who it was so I could credit them, and I'm not sure who, but they said that. With the new banning of the hip drop tackle, that Josh Jacobs signing makes even more sense. Like, as big as he is, get him going. It's gonna be harder for people to get him down. That, you know, maybe Goot had kind of, you know, read what was coming. So I think that's pretty cool. I like that a lot more now with that in mind. So we'll see what happens. But I'm excited to see him play. I'm excited for us to have a better run game. Honestly, let's get some O-line people who can block better, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. What's the old saying? With every adversity lies a seed of equal or greater benefit. You can immediately go, okay, here's what the rules are. Let's adjust our roster and try to maximize how the rules are going to affect us. Tim, you were talking about it, right? You immediately said, all right, I'm done trying to draft good tacklers, right? There's no point now. Let's focus on ball hawks. Let's focus on adjusting the roster in that regard.
And I had to vent in our private group chat before I started posting inappropriate things on Twitter.
Your vent was way healthier than Justin, who does the graphics at Packernet. He immediately messaged me, and there was some very colorful language. And I threw some very colorful language back, too. So it's funny. Every time something goes wrong with the Packers, it seems like Justin immediately texts me just so he can rant. I wouldn't have it any other way.
We are all each other's football therapists, for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure. But, no, I think it's true. I think, you know, when we look at whether it's drafting, whether it's trades, whether it's signing a free agent, whether it's our own internal personnel analysis, I think honestly, especially from, you know, the middle of the field back to the secondary, for sure. I do. I think you have to put an emphasis now on guys that are speed guys, guys that have good hands, good football IQ, you know, guys that can, you know, be ball hawks, be where the ball is before the ball's there, because at the end of the day, they're legislating tackling away from tackle football. And, we've seen that it's happening right now. So when we look at these, you know, these PFF breakdowns and we look at our defenders and, you know, I'm not going to be the guy going, oh, look at his tackle grade. Well, who cares? Can't tackle anymore. So show me some other, grades as far as, you know, the player's attributes go. And I think we need to just adjust how we're looking at these guys going forward. Really do.
Yeah, for sure. SDM40 says, yes, short yardage has been a nightmare. Just talking about the short yardage situation here lately. I don't think that's going to be an issue with Josh Jacobs. He's so patient behind the line of scrimmage. He's going to be able to get you that yard. I really believe that. Yep. He's just got a good combination. And like you said, athletic ability as well as power, running with good pad level, all those things that we always hear about. Let's see here. Andy Monday in the chat says, I'm not convinced we'll draft a running back. Undrafted free agent, maybe. Too many gaps in the O-line, linebackers, and secondary. It's a good point, Andy, but I will say if the best player on the board is a running back and there's a high enough grade, Goody will take him, and I'm sure you would agree with that. I would – now that you got Josh Jacobs, and I have a lot of faith in Emmanuel Wilson, I think you're going to see him kind of emerge this year. I would be totally cool with him going undrafted free agent too. But, again, if my boy Trey Benson's there at any point, sign me up, man. You know, I'd be okay with them taking him as high as a second-round pick with where he sits on my board. I'm going to get hate for that, I understand. That goes with the territory, but I do think Trey Benson's a good back for sure. Let's see here, something else. AFAM in the chat said, I just can't handle Goody's glasses. So let's go back to it again here. See these right here, right? And when he's got them on, it's kind of rough.
There's cheaters. Come on, there's cheaters. You know all you guys are wearing them too, practically.
AFAM goes on to say, what did he just put down, Reader's Digest?
I don't know, but we got a roll of duct tape holding up the microphone too. Can we get the Packers a microphone stand here for these situations?
I'm always blown away, man. And it's not the reporter's fault. It's not the you know, Larry McCarron and the Mike Spofford's fault. It's just like, what are we doing, guys? Can we not?
You know what it is? They're getting ready to pay Jordan Love, so they're like, "Hey, no new mic stands. We got to tighten up here. no crazy expenditures here until we sign this deal."
I can't argue with that. I can't. Reef in the chat said, "I've seen that tackle a lot in my playing days. The runner never gets up the same. Stop being so hard on this rule. On those hip drop tackles, the running isn't fighting for a first down." I'm not sure exactly what that last part was, but there you go. Reef is.
I think he's saying, like, on those hip drop tackles, like when they have enough speed to make the hip drop tackle the necessary movement to bring the runner down, they're at a high end of speed. They're already past the first down and they're going. It's like saving it from, you know, getting home. I think that's what he's saying. So he's saying that, that it's not like the most necessary type of tackle in order to keep them from getting a first down. But yeah, it's an interesting take. I wanted to highlight that because it's the first thing I've seen to kind of counter. And I'd always like to hear both sides of an argument to better understand the situation, right?
I promise you this, Reef will definitely let you know if he disagrees. He does quite often. Prince in the chat says, don't have a JSO sub to read Tom Silverstein's piece, but what was his rationale on not moving on a Clark deal before the new year started? Cap could have been spared the huge hit. Yeah, I heard someone tagged me earlier. I'm trying to think of who it was. I think it might have been Steve on Twitter, as if there's only one Steve on Twitter. But someone tagged me and it said that Spoon was kind of insinuating that they are going to re-sign Kenny Clark, if I understood the tweet correctly. I probably shouldn't even comment on it because I haven't read the article either. Nonetheless, though, when it comes to Kenny Clark, I think we need to see him in this 4-3 defense. You know, he may come out and explode this year. He really may, you know, with having that one gap aggressiveness, you know, that's going to come with this new 4-3 look. I think that's something that definitely could come into play. The problem is he's getting a little bit older now, and Kenny Clark has been in the league for a very long time. You know, we see that he's, 28 years old, 27 years old, whatever he is. But he's been playing in the NFL since he was 20, if I remember correctly. So that's, you know, that's the equivalent to a 30-year-old if they come in the league at 22, right, in all honesty. I'd love to see Kenny back for the right price. But like we said, when you look at the market value on his production and the players he's compared to from a productional standpoint, he's being overpaid about $10 million in cap hit this year. Now, obviously, cap hit doesn't mean anything to the players, but as fans, that's what we really key in on. It's just like, we're definitely overpaying for Kenny right now. I may be eating those words at the end of the year, and I sure hope I am, you know, if he comes out and just absolutely dominates in this year, in the first year in Jeff Hafley's 4-3 defense. So that's a good segue, though, Tim. One of the things I wanted to hit here, we're at the 33 mark. I think we can get through this. The other day we broke down linebackers, right, and what the 4-3 linebacker may entail as far as size. All right, how big is the Mike going to be? How big is the Will going to be? The Sam is kind of non-existent, if you will, because the way that the 49ers and the Jets played, they don't really have just a traditional Sam on the line of scrimmage. They've got three stack backers is how they like to play. And I know me and Jake Shavink went really into detail looking at the prospects that would kind of fit that mold. at the linebacker position. I did the same thing with defensive line because you guys know I feel like it's a position of tier one importance, and it's something that we should really key in on in that regard. So what we could do is kind of dive into that a bit and see what did the Jets do? What did the Jets do as far as the size of their defensive linemen and their 4-3 defense? So we're going to go off snaps, okay? But first things first, some people are going, why are we talking about the Jets and the 49ers? The reason being, I'm just a quick recap. I'm not going to go through all the history. Jeff Hafley, the last time he coached in the NFL, he coached under Robert Saleh at the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, Robert Saleh coming over from Seattle, now with the New York Jets. And then, of course, San Francisco went on to continue to try to run the same defense under different defensive coordinators, whether it be D'Amico Ryans, who, if I remember correctly, was actually playing for Robert Saleh at the 49ers, and then he retired and took over at DC at some point. So those are the two teams that I think would be the best guess as to what Jeff Hafley's defense is going to look like in the NFL. It doesn't mean it's right. Like I said the other day, Tim, I was like, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised with anything. They've been talking 4-3, 4-3. They may come out in a 34 hybrid and surprise everybody, you know, the Belichick, Baltimore Ravens type. I think it'll be most like the Jets, and rightfully so. When you look at the explosive plays last year on defense, you know, San Francisco had the fourth least amount of explosive plays. And for those of you wondering what an explosive play is, it's a rushing play of 10 yards or more or a passing play of 20 yards or more. That's what is described as a, quote, explosive play, okay? That's the name of the game in the NFL, is controlling explosive plays. It's why the Fangio system really took off. It's why Green Bay and other teams switched to wide nine techs to take away the outside stretch. The outside zone stretch run play was the leading way to get explosive plays on the ground, runs of 10 yards or more. And then the way that you would prevent explosive plays through the passing game, passing plays of 20 yards or more, is to play that shell coverage, two on the shelf, showing a quarter's look, whether you're rotating to a cover three or staying in a true country quarters or a zone match type look. So San Francisco had the fourth least amount at 80, okay? They have 47 explosive plays through the air and 33 explosive plays on the ground. The New York Jets finished, 11th in explosive plays at 89. They have 41 through the air and 48 on the ground. Okay, so when you look at the Jets roster, we sorted by snap count. Let's see who took the most snaps on defensive line. It's that absolute stud, Quinnen Williams, okay, number 95. So when we pull Quinnen Williams' card here, he is 6'3", 303. Guys, he was drafted in the first round, the third overall pick. That's where you get guys like this, right? Now, I'm not suggesting that another Quinnen Williams is going to fall to us at 25. However, if Jerzon Newton or Byron Murphy falls that far, it's going to be the closest thing that we have a shot at landing a Quinnen Williams, because they are, in my opinion, the best two defensive linemen in this draft. Some people have Byron Murphy as the best defensive lineman. Others have Jerzon Newton. I personally have Jerzon Newton a little bit better than Byron Murphy. And Byron Murphy doesn't really meet that height threshold if you go by PFF standards. So, again, 6'3", 303 for Quinnen Williams, all right? The next guy with the most snaps, this one blew me away. Solomon Thomas, okay? Obviously, Saleh brung him over with him from the 49ers. You remember, I think it was he was drafted in San Francisco. If I remember correctly, John Lynch, if I heard the story correctly, actually took a couple college courses and Solomon was in there. And when Solomon was still in college, John Lynch went back to school and took a couple courses for whatever reason, the general manager for the San Francisco 49ers. And he got to know Solomon and was like, this dude's a stand-up guy. So it's one of the reasons why he drafted him. He too was the third overall selection in the draft, which is just absolutely wild. What's even more wild, 6'2", only 256 pounds. If I jump back to Quinnen Williams, notice the positions. Look on the left side of the screen at the bottom. It'll say position. So he played defensive right tackle the first four games. Then he played right end the next two games. Back to defensive right tackle. Back to right end. Defensive right tackle, right end. And then finished the year the last six games at defensive right tackle. Not every defensive tackle, especially those that are over 300 pounds, other than the guys named Chris Jones in Kansas City, are versatile enough to play that seven and that nine tech at defensive end. Quinnen Williams was. When you look at Solomon Thomas, he was defensive left tackle the large majority of the time. I mean, there was only like two games that he played defensive end. At 256 pounds, Tim, this is wild, man, because we're so used to our defensive linemen having to be over 300 pounds, right? So just a something to make a mental note on there. If you get the right guy and he's undersized, you know, weight-wise, might not be as big of a deal as if it was in a 3-4.
Or maybe in this new NFL, it's not undersized. You know, maybe we're seeing a pivot here in these defensive fronts where we're looking for, you know, a little more athleticism, higher football IQ. You don't necessarily have to just be a big bruiser. Because, I mean, you see it. You're right. I mean, a few years ago, we would look and go, you know, 6'4", 250, or 6'2", 256. You know, is he an edge? Is he, you know, maybe a linebacker? But, you know, not in the modern NFL. I think this could be, you know, a sign of this new trend here when it comes to defensive fronts across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. The third defensive lineman that had the most snaps for the New York Jets was Quentin Jefferson, okay? He was 6'4", 291, all right? He played left end, defensive left tackle, left end, defensive left tackle. So you're seeing there played more of a hybrid kind of a defensive end approach. And I think having those type of guys be able to play that five and that seven tech is the reason you don't see as much Sam backer going on. It's just something to make a mental note of that, again, the Jets didn't have a true Sam backer. They liked it. Now, they did have a Sam backer, but he wasn't playing on the line of scrimmage like a fifth defensive lineman. Occasionally, I'm sure he was, but for the most part, they like to play with three stack backers. That might be something that Halfley tries to do when he comes to Green Bay. So just a quick recap of the Jets. 6'3", 303. Solomon Thomas, 6'2", 256. And then you had Quentin Jefferson, 6'4", 291. Okay, so those are kind of the average weights there. Now, the other thing to mention here too, Tim, when we look at these snap counts, right, go down to Quinnen Williams, his overall grade, 90.6. Okay, Solomon Thomas, 37 was his grade. 37. Yikes. That blew me away. That was the guy that the defensive lineman that got the second highest amount of snaps, and he graded out of 37. Quentin Jefferson, 52.8. Gives you a little bit of hope, like, hey, maybe you don't have to have great D tackles in this 4-3. You know, just something, like I said, to make a mental note of. So,
yeah, because like you always say, what do you always say? The threshold is usually like 60. You want to be somewhere north of 60 at or north of 60.
As a young player, yes. Yeah. Specifically as a rookie, yeah. You know, if you crack 60, it's okay. You're doing your job. And what's wild is those low grades. And again, we talked about how good this defense was. The Jets actually graded out on defense. They graded out as the best defense in the entire National Football League, according to PFF, right? And you look at the defensive grades, what picked them up? Linebacker play. Linebacker play, cornerback, Sauce Gardner, absolute stud. DJ Reed, another cornerback. Great cornerback play, right? Edge defender Jermaine Johnson. Again, edge is you know, top dog. That's king of the hill. They had three cornerbacks grade out above or right at a, or above 80 PFF grade. That's just wild. A couple edges right there around the 80 mark too. So, yeah. All right, let's move on to San Francisco. San Francisco, as far as snap count, when you slide down here, the first one is Javon Hargrave, okay? And he graded out a 74.9. Then you got Eric Armstead with 661 snaps at a 78.4. This is a different ball game here. These guys are grading out pretty well, right? The third one is Javon Kinlaw, who graded out a 53.8. So they're starting two defensive tackles that got the most snaps. Pretty good grades. So let's look at them here. Javon Hargrave, 6'2", 305. All right. Eric Armstead, 6'7", 290. That's a tall man right there. And then Javon Kinlaw, 6'5", 319. Another big boy there. So you can see none of them are undersized, right? So the outlier is definitely Solomon Thomas with the Jets at that 6'2", 256. So when you look at Hargrave and where he played, who got the most snaps at defensive tackle, it was defensive right tackle all year long. Looks like he played in every single game of the season, to the best of my knowledge there. When you go to Eric Armstead, he missed a little bit of time with injury, but he played defensive left tackle a large majority of the time. Only in week one against Pittsburgh did he play left end, right? And then Javon Kinlaw was mostly defensive right tackle, and then he sprinkled in some defensive left tackle as well. So all these guys, you know, they didn't use them as the hybrid approach like you would have Quinnen Williams, which really just kind of confirms what we said on the top here, that Quinnen Williams is just a unicorn, just like Chris Jones. Man, not everybody can do that. So I just wanted to point that out, that the one outlier was Solomon Thomas at 256. I think you got to kind of throw that out. I think you got to kind of throw that out. And just, I don't know, just kind of, you can't make it the rule. You know what I mean? It's more the exception than the rule at that 256. So again, 303, 256, 291, 305, 6'7", 290, and then 6'5", 319. The one thing that we did come away noticing here, Tim, none of these guys, none of them were under 6'2". That's important to know. So that's probably going to be your threshold. It doesn't mean you wouldn't be willing to draft someone at 6'1", but you're probably going to treat them a little bit different if indeed you are following the blueprint of these two, you know, two of the top defenses in the league that are going to be playing what we think is their scheme, you know, coming
absolutely
in.
So, yeah, I mean, if you give up height in that position, you're losing wingspan, you know, reach, things like that, things that, you know, defensive tackles and ends need to be able to do, get up there and swat the ball, those kind of things, get off of blocks. So I can totally see how a team would be willing to maybe give up a little bit in the weight department, but not necessarily the height and the reach. You know, you don't want anyone drastically undersized on that line.
Correct. I completely agree. SDM40 in the chat said, yeah, Goot also mentioned some 4-3 teams were getting too small. There you go. You see it. And again, the overall defense graded out well, but the defensive tackles outside of Quinnen Williams and with the New York Jets did not play well. There's no two ways
about that. You hit it on the head. Their secondary and linebackers are what brought that grade up for that defense for sure.
Yeah. Kind of the same thing in San Francisco. You know, you had your stud Fred Warner, the best linebacker in the league, but also their defensive tackles kind of stepped up. I bet if we pulled that up again, I'm going to do it real brief here. I wonder if their cornerbacks struggled in San Francisco. Let's see, 75, 84. No, they didn't. So they were just solid all the way across the board, man, San Francisco. They really were. It's just important to kind of, like I say, kind of keep your finger on the pulse across the league and what's – the league is so cyclical. It's a copycat league, right? And things come and go, and they'll always come right back around. In 5 or 6 years, you'll see this stuff start to reemerge. Here we are in a 4-3 defense. I never would have thought we would see the day, to be honest with you. You've been running the 34 since whatever it was, 2006, 2007, whenever Dom came in. Yep. But, yeah. All right. I was going to get into some of the prospects. Let me go rapid fire on that. And I seen your private chat there, Carly. We'll end with that. just to mention some of the prospects, here is the order in which I've got the defensive lineman coming into the draft on my draft board. In the 14 spot, I got Jerzon Newton from Illinois. He's 6'2", 295. So obviously meets the height threshold that we talked about, right? I'm going to go ahead and pop this up here too so you guys can kind of see where these guys are out on the consensus big board, not just my board. So obviously Jerzon Newton right there, they've got him at 25. I've got him at 14. He did peak at 8 though. And then second on my list is Byron Murphy in the 19 spot out of Texas. He's 6'1", 308. Now I'd love to see what, if Jake was here, I could get his, you know, hey, what's measurements do you have for him? Cause he may indeed be 6'2", but as it sits right now, according to the PFF database, he measured in at 6'1". That would suggest, you know, like I said, out of those two defenses and all the defensive linemen that got the most snaps, they, you know, he would be the shortest defensive lineman in the room. So you just got to kind of keep that in mind. He did weigh in, though, at 308. And again, they've got him as the best defensive lineman in the draft here, they being the mock draft database. Third on my list is the big boy, Tim, Tavondre Sweat out of Texas, 6'4", 362 pounds. Lord have mercy, man. I don't know if it's so much that, Tim, as it is the, you know what I mean, the old belly there. But that boy can move, too, for a big guy. I know his RAS was, you know, in the basement. But when you see him move on the football field, it's pretty impressive. He's going to be more of a traditional nose tackle, though. Again, I've got him marked in the orange kind of as hesitant at the 27 spot because that 362 pounds, You did not see either of those teams with someone that, even cracked 310 pounds, much less 360 pounds. So that's probably going to be more of your 34 base nose tackle. I would see a team. I could see a team that was running a 34 go for somebody like that. Next on my list in the 39 spot. Well, let me see here. T'Vondre Sweat, they've got in the 46 spot on the consensus big board. Next on my list is in the 39 spot. Honestly, this is the defensive lineman I like the most. People are going, how can you say it? Like he's fifth on or fourth on your list. He was the guy that was good at both pass rush and run defense. You know, these guys, most of them, they're either really good at pass rush or they're really good at run defense, right? And when I graded out the top four defensive linemen, Chris Jenkins balanced out to be the best defensive lineman as far as being good at both. He was actually second in both run defense and pass rush, although on my big board, he was coming in fourth, if that makes sense. He's out of Michigan, 6 foot three, 305. Forget the fact that he's calling Jenkins his nephew or whatever it is, right? This dude meets the threshold, man. He's tall enough. He's right in that range of 300 pounds, not too heavy. I could see that being someone on the Packers board for sure. And on here, they've got him in the 55 spot, so he should be within range. You know, if that board does fall correctly, I think that the Packers will have a chance to take him, not even at 41, possibly at what was the next pick? Was it 58, something like that? I'm trying to think.
57, yeah.
Yeah, 58, there it is, yeah.
Oh, 58, yeah.
So we got 41, 58, and 88. So if you're going to try to pull the trigger on a Chris Jenkins type, it's either going to be 41 or possibly he could fall to 58. But we'll see how the draft kind of falls into place. Up next was Leonard Taylor, 47 on my board. He's out of Miami, 6 foot three, 305. He's green across the board, which suggests, hey, he fits the mold, right? In the 71 spot, you've got Rook Ora-Ora.
Who?
6 foot four, 295 pounds, a little light on the weight side, right? But you get a drop him into Culver's a couple times, he'll crack that 300 mark. We're good to go, right? We'll get some grease flowing up there for sure. Get a couple fish fries on Friday, right, Tim? He'll be all right up there.
Yep.
So he's a little bit light, like I said, on the weight side, but plenty tall enough at 6'4". Rook Ora-Ora is coming in the 64 spot on the big board, and to bounce back one, let's see here, we have Mekki Wingo. Okay, Mekki Wingo. If we looked on the big board, they've got Wingo in the 116 spot, Tim. I've got him at 56. The problem is he's only 6 foot one, 295. So it kind of makes you think might be a little too short to play, you know, at least fit that complete mold. We talked about Rook Ora-Ora. Up next will be Braden Fisk. This dude moves like a cat, man. He is unbelievable. Out of Florida State, 6 foot five, 297 pounds. That dude, if you remove the game tape and just said, all right, let's build a defensive lineman, this is the guy, right? The problem is, you know, you got to look at the tape too. He's not horrible. Now, this is why I build my board early. I have him in the 87 spot, right? My board, a large chunk of the structure of my board was in place at the end of the season. As soon as the season ended, all right, I get my information in. And this is why. Because of the combine, look where Braden Fisk is now, 45. This is as high – his draft stock is as high as it's been the entire draft season. So just a good example there. He literally jumped 40 spots on the consensus big board because of his 40 – or not just his 40 time, but his overall RAS. And rightfully so. Like, he's a stud. Don't get me wrong. You can tell he moves like a cat. But I would not see him as being in the 40s, you know, according to my board. And again, he kind of fits the mold. He's a little bit undersized as far as the 297 pounds, but you can put 3 pounds on, no problem. Tyler Davis in the 88 spot on my board out of Clemson, 6 foot two, 300, meets the threshold perfectly. That's someone that would match what the San Francisco 49ers and New York Jets used last year. And again, you look at Tyler Davis on the big board, consensus big board, he comes into 133 spot. Next on my board is number 92, Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State. 6 foot two, 280, significantly, you know, lighter than the large majority of those defensive linemen on the 49ers and the Jets. However, I keep telling myself, look at Solomon Thomas at 250, right? 256, whatever it was. So on the consensus big board, they have Michael Hall Jr. in the 66 spot. Okay. So he actually peaked at 35. He's currently sitting at 66. I've got him at 92 on my big board. And the last one on my list in the top 100 is in the 99 spot, Brandon Dorlus out of Oregon, 6'3", 290. So a little bit light, but plenty tall enough. And let's see, Brandon Dorlus on the big board here, probably a little bit higher, I would say. No, he must be low. Look at this. This is going to be interesting here. Brandon Dorlus. Is he even on here? He can't be that low. There's no way. They may have him listed as an edge on here. That's really, really interesting. Let's see if he's listed as an edge. Brandon Dorlus. Yep, they sure do. 82 in the 82 spot. So you can kind of throw that out as far as him being an edge or an interior defensive lineman, you know, whether you want to play him on the inside or not. 6'3", 290. Again, he meets the height threshold. I'm not so much worried about the weight other than Tavondre Sweat because that's a lot of beef. Where's the beef? You remember those old Wendy's commercials back in the day? So the three on this entire list of the top 100 on my big board defensive lineman-wise that I've got lit up in the orange that says, hey, they don't meet the height threshold are Byron Murphy, Tavondre Sweat. Tavondre Sweat is because of the weight, I should say. And then Mekhi Wingo at 6'1". So those three, I would kind of feel like probably not a fit. Now, as far as the guys that are green all the way across the board, Chris Jenkins at 39, Leonard Taylor at 47, and then Tyler Davis at 88. Some people just got PTSD from hearing the name Tyler Davis. They think, oh, no, please don't do this to me. So,
can you imagine we have not one but two Tyler Davises on our team?
It makes sense. I mean, look at all the guys that we've got on the team. We have Valentine, right? We had there was someone else too that was two Jonathan Fords. One's known as Rudy, the other one's Jonathan Ford, right? So anyway, there you go. Tim, you got anything to add to that, man? Sorry to talk so much, but I want to get through that information because we're trying to draw some parallels. Go, okay, what prospects are kind of meeting what we're looking for. We talked about Mike. We talked about Will. Now we're talking about defensive line. It's just really excited to see this new defense. I'm trying to cover every single angle across the board.
I think this is great info. And, you know, really picking at 58, you know, 41, 58, 88, I believe. I don't know if you have those picks again. But, I think there's value with a lot of these guys. Yeah, so, 41, 58, 88, I'm looking at, if we're going to see a D lineman, I think we might see it in that range, depending on how we go with 25 and with 41. Obviously, pending trade back or trade up, any kind of, cooking that Goody's going to do in the kitchen here on draft day. But I would expect that if we go D line in this draft, that it'll be early-ish, definitely before our 91st pick. I don't know what you think of that.
Yeah, I think that's the case because you've got depth at defensive line. You don't look at this defensive line and you're coming out of a defense where you had to have enough to fill three 300-pound defensive linemen consistently in your 34 jam. Now you're going to your base defense being a 4-3 where you only need two of those guys at 300 pounds. So you've already got plenty of bodies. The question is, do you need someone starting caliber and will they fall in your lap? I think you hit the nail on the head, Tim. If you take one, it's probably going to be because one of the best in the draft fell to you and you got to pull the trigger. For me, that would be Jerzon Newton. If Jerzon Newton fell to 25, I'm running the card up there. And again, he's only 5 pounds shy of 300 pounds. You can put that on him quick. He's measured out at 6'2". That meets that threshold we talked about.
Yep. Just give him some cheese curds. He'll be all right.
He'd be just fine. And then the other one, if Jerzon Newton's off the board, and I expect him to be, I really do. I think he's that good. If he's off the board at 25, then I think you got to start looking at possibly Chris Jenkins or Leonard Taylor around the 41 or 58 spot. Ideally, what would happen is you look up at 58 and somehow, some way, Chris Jenkins is sitting there. I would be all over that, dude. All over that. So, Carly, you got anything to add to this? I'm sorry. We've talked your head off here.
Nope, I'm just listening to the experts and hanging out with the chat over here. Oh,
Lord, if you...
They're so great.
We're the experts. We're all in trouble. I promise you that. About that? Yeah. Exactly. Let's wrap it up with what you said in the private chat. I think you said you wanted to kind of bring it full circle with the hip drop. Is that right?
Yeah, I just saw some guys commenting, and there were some questions about the what the penalty actually was. And also for our, you know, for the podcast listeners and everything, I wanted to clarify it. Essentially, the penalty for the swivel hip drop tackle is the same as an unnecessary roughness penalty. It's 15 yards from the line of scrimmage, plus an automatic first down, if that wouldn't otherwise result in a first down. It's not from the location of the tackle. So
we're
still mad,
ain't we, Tim? Good. We're still mad.
Yeah.
Imagine if it was at the point of the penalty. Like, oh, that would be horrible. Like somebody gets a 20-yard run, you run them down, get the hip drop, it turns into a 35-yard gain. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. Be better just to let them go and, like, stick your foot out and trip them or something. I don't know.
And we're still going to see guys getting hurt. This is not going to make football safe magically. I'm sorry. It's just not. I hate to be a hater, but, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Reef in the chat here said – hey Clayton, where do you have Gabe Hall on your board? Let me see who Gabe Hall is real quick, position wise. Anytime you get a question like that, mention the position too, and that'll kind of narrow it down. But I'll kind of check here real quick. Oh, he's got to be a defensive lineman. That boy looking thicker than a bowl of oatmeal. 6'6", 293. All right, let's look for Gabe Hall. Keep in mind, my board is designed to only go to the 150 mark. Okay, so here is my board here. Let's see if I can make that a little bit. Can I make it larger? Let's see here if this works.
Man, that's a big dude right there.
I didn't
go. Holy cow.
Yeah, he's a big old boy. Let's see if we can find Gabe Hall. So we know he's a defensive lineman. He should be lit up in the green here. Let me just scroll down. Again, he's definitely not in my top 100. So let's just go on down past it. Gabe Hall. Defensive lineman, Gabe Hall.
Baylor. Out of Baylor.
Okay. Let's see. If he's not on my board, what I'm going to do, Reef, is I will add him into the database here, and we'll work him up and see where he falls. Now, he may be well off of my board, but when people mention guys like that, especially listeners or viewers of the show, I really like to go in and add them in just so we can kind of see where they would fall. Yeah, he's definitely not. I'm down all the way down to 197. Usually I stop at 150, but doing the show a lot more consistent now, I'm going, you know what, maybe we can get to 300. So Mandy's listening right now going, maybe you could sleep in the yard. But
look at that guy.
Yeah, I like it, dude.
That's a big boy right there, man. Whew.
Yeah, so Gabe Hall, I will keep an eye out for him for you, Reef, and see if we can find him. Some of these guys, too, obviously went back to school, which that's a topic for another day, too, gang, is how – there was some of these guys. I'm like, oh, here he is right here. Bang. So in the original structure, I don't know if you can see it. Let me drop that banner down real quick. Yeah, there you go. You see him. He's sitting at 248 from the structure. Like I use like a – I'm trying to think of what site I use. It might have been Draft Network or somewhere. I just use that to put all the names into the database, use that CSV. And he was sitting in the 248 spot. So I'll work him up for you. I'm going to make a note so I don't forget. And I'd like to see where he falls, man. Work Gabe Hall. And let's do this too real quick since before we wrap up. Let's see if we can find him on the consensus big board. What sucks is about working him in so late if he hasn't already made it into the system consistently, Reef, is it's going to be a little bit skewed from the other ones because now you're going to get the consensus big board data from after the combine. So it kind of throws a wrench into everything. So maybe I can go back and find an old consensus big board and do it that way. But let's see where Gabe Hall falls. Yeah, they got him in the 163 spot. He peaked at 139. So that would suggest that if I do go back and find a later date for the consensus big board, he's probably pretty high. So we'll check that out for sure. There you go. All right, let's see. Chewy in the chat said, I went and joined the Patreon, y'all. It's pretty easy, and I am tech dumb. There you go. Good stuff. Yeah, the link is in the description of this video, and that's what we're going to do with the giveaway since we, you know, obviously everybody's subscription pretty much got canceled or whatever here on YouTube, which is totally cool. We'll just move forward with that. Again, don't feel any pressure to support, but if you do like Chewy, we will – well, not that if you like Chewy. If you do the same thing we did, everybody likes Chewy. We'll make sure we get you guys and gals entered into the contest. Again, I just got a ton of emails and stuff, people saying, hey, just go to Patreon. And I was trying to fight it, going, man, maybe the YouTube thing will work out. But it's just it'd be one thing if I could get on the phone call with someone and get an explanation. But it's mind-boggling to me that a company so large, that's how they approach it, is just, now talk to someone in the chat, and then they're going to tell you they don't have answers. And then we'll get back to you later. So it's like, this is frustrating. So anyway, there you go. We're not here to complain, though. So appreciate y'all hanging out with us. And those of you who have already signed up on Patreon, you are awesome. I know we got people watching on Rumble as well. It's really cool to see that crowd jumping in here, too. Pretty cool. Let's see what else we got. What is that you say, Carly? Go ahead and say it on the show here.
Oh, that Chewy was just asking if we could put in the video description, we could actually make that link, instead of just typing it out, make it actually a hyperlink so that they can click on it straight from the description, just like the other links in the description. That's the only one that you can't actually click on.
Really? That's odd, because when I put it in there, it was set up like a hyperlink. I'm sure I screwed something up there. I'll see if I can work on that.
So here's crazy. So Clayton, it actually might not be you, because I tried to post something in the chat earlier and I wasn't posting a link to Patreon at all. I just typed something, the word Patreon, and it would not post my message in the chat. Anytime I tried to put the word Patreon in, it would not let me post it.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, we'll see. We'll have to see. Wait, where's the conspiracy? Cue up the conspiracy music here. Yeah. Something's going on.
Let's hit it once before we get. Oh, poor Belichick, man. He had a year, didn't he? He had a year. Which, by the way, if you guys haven't watched the Dynasty documentary yet on what is it on? Sorry, yet I mentioned the Patriots again. I apologize, little lady. My gosh. We're in the chair. I don't know if I can get her on screen. What she is. We're off the rails. I don't care, though. That's my girl over here. See if we can get her over here. Extra camera. What's it? Yeah, here you go. Look at the little lady over here. I mentioned the Patriots, and she was like, "How dare you, dude?"
I thought you were gonna show us your wife, not your dog.
Oh, you kidding me? This is.
Oh, she's got it made. Look at that pup. Chilling.
Yeah, it's comfy.
Etta James. Oh, she is. Etta James. She is awesome, dude. She's so sassy, bro. She's just like her mama. Anyway. All right, guys. We're out of here. Ugh. Boy, that's a tough one.
There you go.
Very nice.
It's always bad.
Roger Goodell cam right there.
Yeah, I know we had a bunch of people watching on Twitter, on X on here. If you click on my profile on Twitter, you'll see a YouTube link that you can go to YouTube, a little bit better interaction there as far as the chat if you're not like a premium member of Twitter. So feel free to do that. You can just like and subscribe. Tim, this video right here, I would say by the time we do the show tomorrow night, we will be over 1 million views on our YouTube channel.
1 million views. I love it.
It is absolutely wild, man. That I looked at that. Jacob kept pointing out. I'm like, that can't be right. I went, sure enough. So we're coming up on 1 million views. Twitter account, 13,000 followers we just cracked. So that's awesome.
Stop playing with him!
Really, it's a testament to, like, the fans, man, the Packer. You know, we're fans like everybody else, and we just get on here and cut it up, have a good time, try to have a few laughs, and then also, you know, learn along the way. That's really what it's about. So I love what we've created. I say we, not just me, Tim, Carly, Jacob, Amelia, we, everybody in the chat, man. When we're leaning on the chat, those are the best shows. So, yeah. Let's see. Eric Sutherland had another one, too. What's this be? I'm going to look this up. It's going to be a serial killer or something, knowing how Eric is. Probably won't even be a real player. Christian Boyd. All right. So, got it. I'm on it, guys. Working me like a mule. So, you guys got anything, Carly? You got anything else?
No. No, it's good. It's been a blast.
Yeah. Appreciate you hanging out with us. It was a lot of fun. Tim, you got anything, Bo?
Nope. Just make sure you do your homework assignments from Uncle Eric there. Make sure you check out those players.
On it. Well, dude. No, it's fun, though, man. It is cool to kind of see players that you otherwise didn't have your eyes on. Christian Boyd on the consensus big board he's sitting in the 195 spot, and this is where he's peaked at from Northern Iowa. So evidently his stock is on the rise currently. So, man, the draft is going to be so much fun. So, all right, we're out of here, guys. There may be a Good Morning Lambo. I'll check with the guys. We'll set the link up if there is. You'll know real soon. Just check back on YouTube, check back on Rumble. You'll see the link. Other than that, we'll definitely be back tomorrow night for PTA Live, and we'll have some other good stuff to talk about. The owners' meetings are going till Wednesday, I think. So, there's a good chance there'll be more information dropped tomorrow. It sounds like the kickoff rule, which we were all in favor of, it's got put on the back burner. And the one that we hated, they went ahead and pushed it through. So,
what the hell's going on out here?
Exactly, Vince. Exactly, Vince. So yeah, we'll see you guys and gals tomorrow. There's a good chance some rain rolling through. I might be available for Good Morning Lambo. I just don't want to promise it and not deliver. So some guys are going, it's not delivering. Clayton, we'd rather you not be on there. But there you go. So we'll see y'all tomorrow. Everybody have a wonderful evening. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go Pack, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, a YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.